Welcome to Vanguardia America. I'm your host, James Garcia. Today, I have a group of guests on to talk about the inimitable Bill Richardson, who died last week at the age of 75. The reports from the Associated Press was that he died at his summer home in Chatham, Massachusetts, on Cape Cod. Died somewhat ironically, given his work in diplomacy in recent years, shortly after being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, although this wasn't the first time that he'd been nominated. Among Mr. Richardson's many achievements during his career, he served as a member of Congress representing the 3rd District of New Mexico, served in the Clinton administration first as ambassador to the UN and then Secretary of Energy, and in the early 2000s, he was elected governor of New Mexico, served for 2 terms, after which he made a run for the president, a short-lived run in later part of 2007 and early 2008 before dropping out. And in recent years, he really became known as an international kind of freelance diplomat working to free hostages who were in captivity in foreign countries around the world and created something called the Richardson Center for Global Engagement. Lived an incredibly full life. So here to talk about Governor Richardson's life and legacy are Rafael Collazo, Executive Director of the Unidos U.S. Action Fund, Domingo Garcia, the League of United Latin American Citizens, or LULAC, Arturo Vargas, CEO of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, known as NALEO, and Francisco Pedraza, who's a political scientist at Arizona State University's School of Politics and Global Studies. Thank you all, gentlemen, for coming on. I really appreciate you spending a little bit of time to talk about Mr. Richardson's life. So I'd like to just start with really the big question. What is the legacy that he will leave behind in terms of the world of American politics and maybe broadly Latino society? So if we could start, Arturo, if you don't mind starting, I know that you and Domingo had a lot of interaction with him over the years.
Yes, and thank you for this opportunity to remember and honor the late Secretary, Ambassador, Congressman, Governor. And let me start there, that his resume was absolutely singular. There are very few American political leaders who had the kind of breadth of service that Bill Richardson had during the course of his career. And I just am deeply honored to have been able to have engaged with him in virtually every office that he held at the state and federal level. I first met him when I was a young policy fellow at what was then called the National Council of La Raza. And Bill Richardson served on the Education and Labor Subcommittee. And we coordinated with him to try at the time to save bilingual education, which we did. But that was since 88. And just to see the progress of his career develop in such an extraordinary way, he really has become a giant of American politics.
Domingo, your thoughts?
Well, I met Bill Richardson at the 1984 Democratic Convention in San Francisco. I led a movement to abstain on the first ballot of all delegates because none of the 3 major Democratic candidates, Mondale, Hart, and Jackson, had a majority, unless the Democratic Party agreed to pass immigration reform. And a young man grabbed me, said, "Who are you?" and took me aside. And it was Bill Richardson, who was a congressman from New Mexico at the time. And he said, "You know, you got a good idea, but you need to talk to the people that have the power." And we had a meeting with Tip O'Neill and Walter Mondale. Long story short, they agreed to put immigration on the agenda. And of course, it was passed in 1986, signed by Ronald Reagan. Bill Richardson took me under his wing after that. And when he became governor, you know, we were active working on issues. And then as ambassador, I think he's going to be remembered as a Latino trailblazer, the first major Latino candidate to run for president of the United States. And that's the legacy, I think, that Bill Richardson lives to our community.
He also seemed to be someone who really enjoyed politics and what it was all about and what it took to engage in politics. Rafael, did you know Mr. Richardson personally? And what's your impression of how he navigated the political world?
I didn't know him personally. I had a chance to meet him on several occasions, actually. Can certainly recall a few moments at NALEO conferences. To listen to Domingo and Arturo's comments beyond his historical legacy, so many of us have a personal connection in that he mentored so many of us that are currently in the space and opened so many doors for Latino leaders, including, of course, our executive director and CEO, president CEO of Unidos US, Jenna Murguia, who was one of the amongst the first people to share her personal reflections and appreciation for his legacy. To put a finer point on Domingo Arturo's comments related to his resume, in 2008, when he was, as Domingo mentioned, a major Democratic candidate for president, you could argue he was the most qualified person on stage that cycle. And so because of his wealth of experience and diverse experience, and I think the greatest political legacy he leaves is that he was a servant to the end, was still relevant in politics without any official title or elected position, was instrumental in the release as a volunteer negotiator for the U.S. government for the release of WNBA superstar Brittany Griner. And so The fact that he had this thirst for globe-trotting the world to assist our country in getting members of our military released and other Americans out of harm's way in some very precarious situations abroad shows you just one example of the incredible legacy and love that Bill Richardson had for our country, which was obviously centered in the Latino community, but really went well beyond that.
And let me, if I may, go back to Arturo or Domingo, whichever one of you wants to jump in before we go to Francisco, to talk about his involvement in politics and whether it was something that he enjoyed. He struck me from the outside looking in, and I did not know him personally, met him a handful of times, but just watching him over the years, he seemed to thrive on being in that world, not just the U.S. political landscape, but also on the international stage. What can you say about that, Arturo, if I can begin with you?
I think it wasn't just politics that he thrived on. I think it was policy that he thrived on. It was trying to ensure that the best decisions were being made by the Congress at the state level when he was governor, when he was ambassador to the United Nations, when he was Secretary of Energy, that in any one of those capacities, he wanted to ensure that government was working for the people. And so it wasn't just politics, I think, as much as it was policy making and public service.
Domingo, your thoughts?
I think he enjoyed politics. He enjoyed meeting people, getting to know them, getting to get people to kind of come around to his point of view. I saw him when he ran for president. He was very gregarious. He liked shaking hands. He liked, kissing babies. That was his kind of cause célèbre of him. And then, you know, when he went to North Korea and brought back some of the prisoners that were there, I think he enjoyed meeting those families and bringing their loved ones home when everybody had given up hope and the State Department said they couldn't do anything. But he was not afraid of anything. And he was not afraid to deal with any politician, whether it was the North Koreans or somebody in the Middle East or whatever. He was a very courageous man, and he knew what he wanted out of life. And I think politics drove him, and there was a fire that was in him until he died.
And that's a particular gift, right, to not just, as I understand, he holds the Guinness Book of World Records for shaking the most hands, something like 13,000 plus handshakes
in 8 hours at a state fair,
which says something about his ability to just connect with average people. But as you just noted, he also could sit across the table from the North Korean president and other world leaders and obviously make his presence known. What do you think there was, Domingo, quickly about his personality that allowed him to kind of navigate those different worlds?
His background, where he came from, kind of the blend. People think about Bill Richardson, they thought they were talking to a Mexican-American from New Mexico, but that's what he was. And I thought that he was able to really not be encumbered by any potential barriers. He saw himself as somebody who could get things done, somebody who could move. And he was able to, whether it was the penthouses in Wall Street or whether it was a barrio that he was walking in Santa Fe, he was able to get along in all worlds and talk to people, no matter how rich or how poor or how powerful or how weak, and hear them out and be a sympathetic ear and then get things done and bring them together. That's kind of a rare talent that you rarely see in politicians nowadays, working with Republicans and Democrats. Nowadays, you have the polarization and you see people just kind of going into tribal camps. He was one that wasn't afraid to go to any tribe, talk to any chief, and try to bring home the bacon or get the deal done.
He certainly seemed to be willing to cross not just the aisles, but oceans to make things happen. I mean, it's an impressive trait. Let's speak to Francisco Pedraza from ASU. Where does he fall in the scheme of political leaders in this country, particularly within the Latino community? But we know that he worked way beyond just the Latino community.
At the very tippy top. And here's why. When we think about stewards of democracy, and when we think about Latinos' positions, the entire community's position as the heirs of American democracy, there's lots of possibilities here. And he presents a prototype for how we can save the republic that is currently on somewhat shaky ground. We look back at the last 20, 25 years, and there's just no way that we could have predicted that we would be in 2023 in these moments where we're talking about election integrity in the United States, where we're talking about the degree to which our country could be trustworthy. And here's a gentleman from very early in his career, all the way through the twilight of his career, as someone had mentioned, served all the way to the end. And he reminds me of this beautiful statement that is featured in a popular culture show on the life of Selena Quintanilla, where her father laments to his children, "It is hard to be us because we're not Mexican enough for the Mexicans. We're not American enough for the Americans." And Bill Richardson provides a template for not just how you navigate those worlds, but how you do it in a way that's graceful, that moves forward with intention, and I think gives us an idea that is fit for purpose that can actually be applied. So when you ask me, where does he fit in the pantheon on this? I would say he's one of those that we would nominate to serve the entire republic on how we might move forward together. And some of it is not just in his own legacy, but it's a legacy of the entire community that he was a part of. His own memoir, Between Two Worlds, that tells us a lot about how we've been through the fire, really position us in a, I dare say, special way to appreciate the challenges before us, to not cower, and to move forward in a way that is positive, that is constructive, not destructive, and just refuses any kind of politics that begins from a basis of exclusion. That's what I would say is the legacy of Bill Richardson, something that is an example for the entire nation and globe even.
That's Francisco Pedraza, a political scientist at Arizona State University. In a moment, we'll be back with part two of our extended interview on the life and legacy of Bill Richardson. You're listening to Vanguardia America. Welcome back to Vanguardia America. I'm your host, James Garcia. We're talking about the life and legacy of Bill Richardson. When we left off, I was about to ask Naleo CEO Arturo Vargas about the relative lack of press coverage that was given to the passing of Bill Richardson.
Yeah, and I think I don't disagree with anything you've just laid out, but I have to pose this question to Arturo. I think I saw a comment from you on Twitter about maybe to some degree how his passing, how his death did not necessarily garner the kind of press attention that I would have expected, and I think that you expected. What are your thoughts on that, Arturo, in terms of perhaps why the media broadly in the United States didn't necessarily respond as vigorously reporting his passing?
Well, first, let me say that I was truly stunned to learn of his passing. It seemed to come to many of us as a shock. And at 75, relatively young, especially for somebody in this moment in society. And I was just dismayed that in my hometown newspaper, which claims to be a world-class periodical, the Los Angeles Times, that his obituary was on the section, the California local section, page B7 at the bottom of the page, appearing as an afterthought. And what just shocked me is that on the front page was this huge obituary tribute to Jimmy Buffett. And I just compared the contributions to society, to the world, by Jimmy Buffett as compared to Bill Richardson. I was just appalled that the Los Angeles Times would treat his passing as an afterthought. Unlike, however, the Washington Post, which had his obituary on the front page. But I think it shows us a level of still disrespect that exists in the mainstream towards Latino leadership in this country. You mentioned, it was mentioned that we're not good enough, not Mexican enough or not American enough, but for some folks, we're just not good enough leaders, even though, again, his resume was singular of any American political leader or diplomat. And he deserves the recognition that should come with those contributions.
The resume, the kind of resume that you would expect and would hope for every presidential candidate to have, something of sort of that degree, right? I mean, in terms of all of the pieces, the international experience, the national experience, the congressional experience, the legislative, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, thoughts, Domingo, about why perhaps his passing wasn't acknowledged quite at the level. The Washington Post did a good job, but my impression, it took me until, frankly, until sometime on Sunday, well into Sunday, to learn that he had passed. And I tend to, like, you know, pay attention to the news all the time. So just thoughts on that, about why perhaps his career and role wasn't as appreciated as it should have been.
I think Arturo's hit a very important point. Latino leaders, by and large, and our community is marginalized still by the mainstream press. We're still not on CNN and MSNBC in any significant numbers. Our stories tend to be regional in scope. They might come out in the Arizona paper or New Mexico, but they're not covered nationally in our issues, even though we're the largest minority now in the United States. And even though our buying power is significantly larger than other communities, it's still not there. And Bill was trying to break that. You know, when he ran for president, he was trying to show a Latino can do this. He can become president of the United States. There can be a Lopez, a Perez, a Garcia in the White House. And I think that is something that we need to honor his legacy, is continuing to beat those balls down to allow our leadership to get the same respect that other community leaders, whether African-American or in the Anglo community, are getting. And that's up to us. And that, I think that's what Bill was trying to get to when he was making these arguments, that a lot of times we're still at the little kids table, politically speaking. We're not at the adult table, especially in terms of the major media. And but, you know, LULAC put out a press release to all the major media regarding his passing. Very few news outlets picked it up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Rafael Collazo, some closing thoughts from you. I know you have to go to another meeting and we'll wrap up a little bit after, but just some final thoughts from you about the role he played in terms of all of the kind of work that you do through Unidos US. How important was he to the issues that you address?
Well, you know, I think Arturo really laid it out very well earlier in the conversation as it relates to, he wasn't just a pioneer in terms of a Latino breaking so many glass ceilings, but he really was a great thinker as it relates to thoughtful policies. He really was ahead of his time, thinking about his time being the governor of New Mexico, you know, was way before it was fashionable, was pushing on issues like minimum wage, environmental issues, even broached the subject and opened up a conversation around where does the legalization of marijuana fit in our policies. So really was a pioneer in just so many ways. And kind of ironic, thinking about how we think about our politics today, was really a pioneer in a sense of being your authentic sense in your politics. You know, Bill was himself and oftentimes would get criticized for just kind of being a straight shooter and almost kind of being too honest and not being political constantly. And so I think his authenticity, which was very cultural from a Latino perspective, very relatable, I think is another great part of his legacy. Obviously, you know, a few of us probably wouldn't be on this Zoom and have gotten an opportunity without his leadership. You know, he helped in all of his roles, helped countless Latinos with his policies and his mentorship. And so I think just Bill is the person, beyond just Bill as the political, Richardson as the political figure, is going to be his greatest legacy.
Thank you, Rafael. I appreciate those thoughts. And thank you for being with us today. And the mentorship thing keeps coming up again and again. When I was cruising various news reports, the ones that did exist about his passing, it came up again and again, people that he had mentored. So thank you for being on. Francisco, let me ask this question. He strikes me as a globalist. This is a guy who grew up in Mexico City as a very young man and came to the States and went to college here and then lived his career and experienced all of the great work that he did over the course of his lifetime. But he strikes me as someone who was a globalist, someone who could sort of walk international terrain and connect with people, even people who didn't speak his language and he didn't speak theirs. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And we should celebrate it. I think it's fair. And the reason why I think we should celebrate it is because his work and his life also speaks to a very important argument about how a prescriptive argument for how Latinos should conduct themselves. And that's really two features. One, service to the end, very crucial. And then the second one is there's not a single table where Latinos should not be seated. Not a single one. From the local to the state to the national, all the way up to the global, what he showed, and I think what is an important part of his legacy is that where there are politics happening, we are stakeholders and we should be at the table.
Congress, the United Nations, governorship, et cetera. What was his gift for mentoring Arturo? You met him when you were very young.
He came across, and this is, again, another unique characteristic and element of Bill Richardson's personality, as not having a huge ego and someone who you could relate to. The last time I saw him was at a memorial service for another great American political leader, the late Congressman Esteban Torres. And it was at his memorial was the last time that I sat next to Bill Richardson and we caught up with each other. But he was, didn't insist on somebody who needed to make remarks, didn't insist on somebody who needed to have the attention on him. He was there honoring a past colleague and in a way that was very humble. And I think that kind of accessibility is what made him such a powerful mentor.
It's an interesting gift because he also always had this kind of air of confidence whenever I saw him in a room, just crossed paths even fleetingly with him. He had an air of confidence, but as you noted, not necessarily arrogance or that kind of thing by any means. Domingo, some final thoughts on his passing and what he means to American politics and American society and the Latino community in general.
Again, I think he was a unique leader, somebody who was able to just cross over class lines, racial lines, political lines, and who made a difference. I mean, the real fact of the matter is he introduced me to Tip O'Neill when I'm 26 years old, fresh out of law school. He introduced me to Ted Kennedy, and this is how you pass an immigration reform. These are the guys you got to get with. I didn't have anybody that could open those doors for me at that time in my life, but he did. And he was just, a congressman at the time. And that was the last immigration reform that passed was 1986. And we haven't had anything since. So I think that's kind of the void that Bill Richardson left. And hopefully there will be other people to pick up the flag and carry on this legacy in the future.
And Francisco, if you could close with your thoughts about perhaps what young people out there, people younger than us, at least Domingo Arturo and I, you seem a little bit younger than us, but young people out there who are entering public life, interested in public policy, interested in politics, what can they learn from this man?
Well, they should absolutely see him as an exemplar of service and an exemplar, especially those who want to see the Republic thrive. Whether you're Latino, whether you're non-Hispanic, he serves as a wonderful example. And I would add that a special note of appreciation to you, James, for putting this together, because this is how we keep his memory alive, by speaking very frankly about the legacy that he had and elevating his presence from this point forward. By remembering the examples that he gave us and what we might learn from them, yes, how youth can do it, but also how we might assume the responsibility as not necessarily being youthful anymore, but as being connectors to those next generations, as these are examples, these are templates that you can use to follow and learn from. So thank you all.
Thank you, Francisco. Thank you, Arturo. Domingo Garcia is with LULAC. Arturo Vargas is with NALEO. Francisco Pedraza teaches at Arizona State University. And earlier, we had Rafael Collazo on. Thank you all for taking the time to recognize and remember this very important public figure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Vanguardia America.